Welcome to Aging Gayfully. We're about adventure, leisure, travel, being a citizen of the world, traveling to destinations, and being a part of the global community as we age and prosper in body, mind, and spirit.
Welcome to Aging Gayfully. I'm Josh, and it's all Greek to me.
And I am Chris, and I'm really frustrated today, but this is going to help me. It's going to give me a pick-me-up.
Well, we all have frustrating days or weeks or months or years.
Okay, can I start with something? Can I start with something indecent?
Please do.
It may not appear indecent unless your mind wanders. My mind wandered today because I traveled down to have breakfast with my good friend Melanie. I've known Melanie for as long as I've been in Florida, I guess now. Well, she knew Richard. So I was driving back on the 95, and there's this, you know, how the on South Florida now they have all these really big signs on the interstate that, notice signs that. I guess they're almost like TV boards. Yeah, they message boards. And it said, cover your load. It's the law. And I thought, now, wait a minute. Is that a message from the Catholic Church? They're changing their theme about covering your load.
Cover your load. Well, thing is that we are shooting this video here, for those of you who might never see it, only from chest up, so you don't know if we have our loads covered or not.
That's right.
Although I will tell you, I'm gonna grace the people who are watching this with a little reveal. The pants that I'm wearing right now, Chris, I'm gonna stand up and you're gonna see my pants, and I want you to describe them to the listeners. Okay. who can't see the video. Ready? Here we go.
Well, they're zebra.
I am taking it right back to the 90s with these pants. And I don't know if anyone remembers the Zubas type pants, but especially in South Florida, that was a big thing. The look was those sleeveless shirts along with Zubas, high top tennis shoes, and a fanny pack, a front-facing fanny pack.
Oh, I remember those fanny packs.
In Britain, front-facing fanny means something totally different, but that's not this podcast. But anyway, those are the pants I'm wearing right now.
We need to get some of your British friends on Aging Gayfully.
Yeah, I would love that.
You go to Britain every other month. I mean,
I wish. I absolutely wish. I was actually thinking about that, how wonderful it would be to have that kind of life. You know, every 3 weeks or so. No. Heading over the pond, you know, going to spend the weekend in London. Oh, that would be absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, I'd say go for it. Let's do it.
Oh, sure. Okay. Chris told me I could.
Aging Gayfully travels.
There we go.
I'm sure Amanda won't mind.
Well, no, she would come with.
She would go.
Yeah.
She would want to go. Yeah.
So I do have a question for you, though.
Okay.
This expression, act your age. When you hear that expression, because I was thinking about this today, where does your mind go with this whole idea of act your age?
It goes to me that it goes to a strict parent who doesn't allow their kid to be themselves.
Now, is this a little personal history happening, or is this just the general?
A little bit of I think most responses people have to questions come from their personal history. So yes,
it's interesting. So using the expression on an adult, though,
it's amazing that you asked this today, because this conversation came up in breakfast this morning about acting. Not so much acting your age or trying to figure out life. You know, you need to figure this out before you do. And you know, I looked at my friend. I said, figure it out. I mean, shit. I just turned 67 and I'm still trying to figure it out. Every day's an adventure. You can't, anybody who thinks they have it figured out or you have to act a certain way to please somebody else. I think the problem, and this is, you know, we all come with our own baggage. So I'll just, you know, for me, it was like, you were supposed to do these things. That's the way it was always done. You're supposed to work 9 to 5. And if you're not working 9 to 5, then what's your problem? Or something's wrong with you. Or if you didn't have the white picket fence and 2 kids, there was a problem. And goodness, here's another example that just happened this week. And we didn't even plan this. This is mental telepathy or whatever they call it. I was on an interview this week with a fellow that's doing a book. And he pulled me out of LinkedIn and he said, I'm doing a book. I'd like to interview you as a business owner and successful entrepreneur in Florida. I kind of laughed. I asked him, well, why did you pick me out? Well, because your business is kind of unique and unusual. I said, well, that's really true. But the successful and all that, I was, I kind of questioned. But he's going through all his questions and he got to the point to where he said, how has your business impacted your wife and children?
Oh, yes, Chris, how are your wife and your children responding to all this?
Yeah. And I sat there for a moment and I said, I could, the 25 year ago, Chris would have made something up, but the 67 year old Chris said, well, actually, as a LGBT senior, proudly, by the way, my business was actually started from the experience I had with my partner who died from esophageal cancer. And so everything that I've been doing with my business has been in his honor. And so my business was created from my personal experience, my personal family experience. And it has had a great impact on me, both personally and professionally. He didn't really know how to respond other than said, oh my goodness.
Well, do you think that he
ended up having a nice conversation?
Yeah.
It's like, well, what do I need? I don't have anything to hide or not be proud of.
Yeah.
But it's that assumption.
Yeah.
It's like, I just had to laugh. My wife and 2 kids. I said, goodness.
The kind of this idea of assumptions that attracted me to even talking about this idea of acting your age, because I work with seniors. I work with folks who are in their 80s and up. And, this whole idea of act your age kind of makes me laugh, because there's still what seems to feel like high school drama or middle school drama amongst seniors. There's still people stamping their feet when they don't get their way or just being unreasonable and silly. And I think that this idea of having a prescribed set of ways that a person acts is...
I had a therapist, when I was working in social service, and one of the therapists, I forget how we got into this conversation, but we were talking about behavior change. You formulate a behavior as you during your adolescence and your adulthood, and as time changes, you gain more experience. But do you really ever change, or do you grow? Does experience help you mellow, or are you just always going to be a person that just complains? I don't know.
Well, I don't think you can say anyone is always going to be anything. I think that's the idea, is that everyone progresses
going to be themselves
towards self-actualization at a different rate. And some people make it to the point where they feel like they are fully formed and emotionally mature and reliant, self-reliant, but at the same time have an accurate view of themselves and humanity and in the universe. There's no way to measure it, but I don't know that very many people kind of reach that guru on the mountaintop state of mind. It has nothing to do with how old one is. It just has to do with how people have progressed towards maturity, emotional maturity, if anything, I guess is what we're talking about here.
Right. And some of that is also can be situational. It's how you're treated.
Oh, sure. The myriad of factors that affect who we are. Even the whole idea of when you're born and as a parent, this is something that I think of all the time. This idea of nature versus nurture. You know, what determines the personality of a child? Is it their genes or is it their surroundings and how they're raised? And the reality, I'm sure, is both. But to mm-hmm. what degree? I'd love to see a study. You know, this idea of twins who are separated at birth and then they come back together like decades later. And, you know, I've seen a lot of stories on that where...
You mean like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
And Danny DeVito. Yes, that's exactly what... Man, you nailed it. You nailed it. You know exactly. I don't even need to say anything else because with that, you've nailed it. No, actual twins who come together and you know all the things that they have in common and all the things that they have different. That shit is fascinating to me.
It is. I might just kind of take it a step farther because it's all relatable. I had this conversation with my brother in February when I was in St. Louis. Because there's 10 years difference between him and I. And I have very vague recollections of growing up with in and around four of my five older siblings. I have strong recollections growing up with my sister Jerry, who was the closest in age to me, but was still 8 years older. But you know, as I said to him, I said, you know, we grew up in two different families. I grew up as an only child. You grew up around, you grew up in a and actually a family. So, and so it goes back to your point is, you know, your surroundings, your upbringing, the people that you're around, how that helps develop you. It does play a part in your personality and psychic. And it comes back to that question that you started off with, acting your age.
I have been at different times in my life accused of not acting my age because I like to be silly and I like to make people laugh. And I think that that makes them feel comfortable and at ease. And to me, that's a total misapplication of this idea of acting your age. I think that there is a time for people of all ages to be silly and to be joyful and mirthful and all that stuff.
I'm going to be silly right now.
Go ahead. What's happening?
I got a new desk. Yeah.
What? He's descending into Hades. What's happening? Oh, now he's coming back up. This is what it looks like when Santa Claus is coming up the chimney.
I kind of like this look. Yeah. What do you think?
I think that you're playing with things that are just under screenshot, and it's very concerning.
I have my load covered.
Thank you. Well, folks, I'm going to put a button on this segment. Folks out there, don't worry about acting your age because who knows what the hell that means.
Yeah, go, you know, live life to the fullest. Follow your dreams.
Which is a great segue into the next thing I want to talk about. And hopefully, I think you're prepared to talk about this. And if not, then folks, we're going to cut all of this out. But speaking of like following your dreams or following the path that you've been taking, I do want to give a portion of time for you to talk about your My Green Folder project, how it's going and what the folks can do to help right now and what they might be able to do to help in the future.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to ask me that because we are about to launch a campaign on the My Green Folder film project. As some of our listeners are, well, not some of them, all of them know, we've talked about the My Green Folder film project. It's been pretty much out there for well over a year. But, you know, this ties into acting your age because I've been very respectful of people's times and positions. And I've really felt like I've gone through all the proper channels to get our project noticed. I also recognize that I'm not officially really in the entertainment business, but I play one on podcast.
You entertain the absolute hell out of me, but I do want to assume that we have hundreds of new listeners every single day. So I do want you to tell us first what the project is about.
Yeah, exactly. So the My Green the My Green Folder Film Project is about our caregiving experience. It's amazing in and of itself that in sickness and health, my couple's final journey is its 10-year anniversary this April. And the story was produced and written by Diane Lade, Pulitzer Prize winner, and Carlene Jean, photojournalist from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Our caregiving story was chronicled by these two wonderful reporters, and it was published in April of 2014, nominated for a Pulitzer Prize, and was a Pulitzer Prize finalist in 2015. And there has been a screen play written on our project. And I've gone through all the proper channels of trying to get the project in front of decision makers, a writer. Well, we've got a screenwriter for the film, but actors, producers, investors, directors, folks that are hard to get to, especially when you're not in the entertainment business. But I never give up trying. And then just recently, in December of 2023, AARP Entertainment and the Creative Coalition joined forces to bring care stories to film. And I've reached out to my contacts at AARP. I've reached out to the Creative Coalition individually. In fact, I even joined as a member. I thought that was pretty cool. And even then, it's been hard to get a response. So this month, we're about to launch a campaign to get the My Green Folder Film Project to production. So all you got to do is go to mygreenfolderfilm.com. Just scroll through. There's a lot of fancy buttons now. And I'm just asking people to click on the... I guess I better look at, see what, how I named that button. Let me look. How did I name that button?
Just make it a big red button.
It's a big green button. Everything is green. Tell us why this film should be made. All you got to do is click on, tell us why this film should be made. And it'll take you right to a WordPress form. Just fill in, just read the story. See the story, look at the film that, now I'm getting emotional.
That's quite all right.
Watch the video of Richard and Me that was, the Sun Sentinel did 10 years ago. I guarantee you, you're going to need a Kleenex when you watch it. You'll get to see Richard in his glory, and mindful that, at one point, I knew the story had been read over 500,000 times, but that's been a few years ago since I've checked in on the folks at the Sun Sentinel. And I know that I still get comments about the story today, even after 10 years, because the story is impactful. And I must say that the only difference between our caregiving story and anybody else's out there is that ours was published. There's nothing overtly special in one sense, but then in another sense, that it is special because the story does talk about love, care, and commitment. And it also talks about how there's no boundaries when it comes to caregiving. Caregiving impacts every culture, every economic, there's no economic boundaries. There's no orientation boundaries. There's no gender boundaries. Our story spoke to all that. And that's why our story connected with people. And we feel like we've got a pretty good working script. And people ask me, why My Green Folder? You know, what's about My Green Folder? I said, well, look at it like this. I had to carry a green folder with me wherever I went while in the midst of care, with our healthcare proxies, power of attorney, and living wills, just in case any unsuspected staffer in any medical facility, social service facility would question my legal rights to Richard. And as you would read in the story, that did happen. That happened early on, after his esophageal cancer came back with vengeance. And it also happened at the worst of times, 90 minutes after Richard made his life transition, when I got a phone call from an organization that he had donated his body to, denying his gift 90 minutes after he died because the paperwork wasn't correct. Well, funny, when we first entered the hospice 7 days prior, everything was confirmed that the paperwork was in order, because that's kind of the procedure when you enter hospices, to make sure that all the end of life documents are in place. But 90 minutes after he died, I was told you have 24 hours to find another place for Richard. Imagine putting yourself in that position. See, there's one thing about caregiving that binds people together, and it's our stories. Everybody has a caregiving story. And it's our stories that bind us together, because it's through our stories where diversity meets the road to collaborate on a common cause. In my 30 years of social work, I've never seen one issue like caregiving that brings people together from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different colors, different orientations, because everybody understands what it means to care. And everybody understands that they want to be able to care with as less drama from outside sources as possible. And I'll be as bold to say that we want to be able to care with as less bigotry from people that you possibly can. I'm not, the Migraine Folder Project is not intended to change anybody's opinion on sexual orientation or whatever your thoughts are on that. The Migraine Folder Project is really talking about the importance of care, end-of-life issues. But in essence, and everybody loves a love story, the Migraine Folder Film Project is a true love story. Richard and I could have been your neighbor. You would never have known it. And that's the reality of the Migraine Folder Film Project. And that's why I will never give up having this project, getting this project to production. And the way you can help is to go to migrainefolderfilm.com and put in a quick testimonial. You know, what would be even more fun would be to break the website, that there's so much there's so many testimonials that have come in, so that I can go to the Creative Coalition, I can go to a producer, I could go to an actor and say, well, you know what, I've got 1,000, I've got 10,000. Well, 500,000 people have read the story. Like the sign says behind me, if you can dream it, you can do it. Well, I'm doing it. I'm taking the masses to the people who haven't had the time to respond to the inquiries that could respond now. So any inquiry, any words of wisdom, anybody interested in helping, just go to migrainefolderfilm.com.
And I want everyone to blow that up, like Chris said. It's funny though, because just off air before we started, Chris was bemoaning website troubles, and you heard it. He just asked you to blow up another website. So
blow up another website.
The guy doesn't know what he wants. What can I say?
Oh, yes, I do. I do know what I want.
Well, good, because that's our last thing we're going to talk about. This is a quick hit. Ready? So you just you answer off the top of your dome.
Is there music? Wait a minute. We got to get them. I mean, you're the producer here. I'll put the music in. Let's say drum roll. How do you like? No, that was.
Come on now. You're playing with the buttons again.
I see. I don't want to be a producer. Okay, there you go. How did I do?
So. Incredible. So I want you to give me your top three lists of the next three places you want to visit, right? Top three. Ready? Go.
Barcelona.
Okay, my first one then will be Toronto. I want to visit Toronto, Canada. Your second one. Okay,
Vancouver.
Ooh, the place of my birth, Vancouver, Canada. My second place would be somewhere, anywhere in Ireland.
Oh, okay. You've got me on my third. Is it time for my third one?
Your third one?
Scotland.
Ooh, yeah. Amanda and I have been talking about Scotland because we have a couple people there that we know we could visit and go see that. Yeah. So my third place then is... I want to go see Norway. I think I talked about that last week. So that is my third place, Norway.
Yeah.
So Norway, Ireland, and Montreal.
Well, let's see. I've been to Montreal, and it's definitely worth seeing. But if you're going to Montreal, you want to go to Quebec City as well.
Okay. Well, there you go. I'll put that.
I have another new place that I never thought that I'd want to go this far, but I'd like to go to Japan.
Oh, very. You know, Amanda's been to Japan.
Has she?
She has. Her brother used to be stationed there, so she went to visit Tokyo. So I'm sure that she's happy to talk to you about that. And also an old friend who I haven't talked to in decades, but an old friend who I could connect you with, decided to teach school there way so many decades ago and still lives there.
Let's do it.
His name is Richmond, and I'm sure that he would be happy to show you around.
Well, let's connect him. Let's talk to him.
Excellent. We'll do that. All right, Kiss. Kiss. All right, Kiss. All right, Chris.
I remember when Kiss started. I was in a high school when Kiss started. I was a senior at Brentwood High School, and Kiss was just starting because I had four classmates that dressed up like them.
And they formed right in front of you?
Well, they did, because these four classmates, they dressed up just like them with all the makeup. It's like when we go back to a class reunion, which is going to be 50 years and just a couple of years, it's like we always talk about those four where they dressed up like Kiss. They're in the yearbook. It's like...
Well, let me tell you that I had the singular misfortune to attend a Christian high school. So had they shown up to that school, they would have immediately attempted to exorcise them. And I don't mean run around the field seven times. I mean holy water and the whole rigmarole there.
Oh, that holy water. It's really magical. Never drank it?
No, but only you could make holy water sound dirty.
Well, 6 years in the seminary will do that to you. So
excellent. So, Chris, how can people get in touch with us?
You can get in contact with us by yesiam@agingdayfully.com. yesiam@agingdayfully.com. And you know, Josh, since I'm changing servers for our website, we're going to have some personal email addresses too. You can be able to email Josh directly or me directly, or we're going big time here.
I love that. Next, right after that, we'll have our own parking spaces.
Yeah. With the Jetsons.
All right, folks. So until next week, make sure to don't act your age. Just act in a way that's fun, that's joyful, that's showing.
Just act like you're aging gayfully.
That's right. That's the button I was going to put on the end of this sentence. Just age gayfully.
And remember to cover your load.
Thank you for the reminder. I need a big tarp.
The truckers. That's the message for the truck. That's the truck. I was going to say I have a vision, so I may as well go ahead and say it. But that message was for the truckers on 95. I just took it to another level. Yes, so.
Of course, always. All right, Chris, we'll talk to you later.
I'm not acting my age.
Yes, you are.
Thank you.
You just wait until you are 69, and then you'll be happy to act your age.
I might just get there now, so.
All right. And that's my cue. See you later, folks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Hasta luego.
Back at you. Winnebago.